welcome to our session today. We are going to look at a new landscape for kids ministry. My name is Danny Johnston and I work at Letchworth Garden City Church as the kids pastor as well as a staff team pastor. And I'm also on the Limitless Kids Elim team. I am so looking forward to today's session because we have an incredible group of people who are passionate for God and passionate for kids and young people. So today we are going to look at a new landscape for kids ministry. You know, pre-COVID, our sessions and kids ministry, you know, as I talked to other kids leaders, was all about providing excellence and providing fun and discipleship. And it was wham, bam, activity and sessions and plans. And things were really, really amazing, but yet full on for our kids ministry. And then we get hit with COVID and all of a sudden things around us change massively. And I don't know about you, but I know certainly for me and us at LGCC, things were like, okay, what do we do now? And we went into a massive season where what we could only do what we could do. And that was looking at relationship. It was looking at connecting with our families in a completely different way. I don't know about you, but I don't think I've ever written as many individual cards to kids that I have done in this season, or made as many phone calls and had conversations with parents and children alike, just catching up and seeing how they are and praying for them. And it has been an incredible season. But yet the season has changed again, hasn't it? You know, churches are starting to meet again and, you know, restrictions are still there, but they have all changed. And so we're in a new landscape even now as we're heading into this season of what does kids ministry look like now? But also what does kids ministry look like ahead in a couple of months? It could be very, very different again. So today we're going to take a little look at this. I can guarantee we do not have all the answers, but we have incredible people who are very skilled and knowledgeable that are here, and we're going to have a conversation with them to just hear their heart and share and ask questions and maybe answer some questions about some of the things that might be on your hearts and in your minds too. We're not going to be talking about the ratios or one-way systems or hand sanitizer. We're talking about a culture of children's ministry and what that looks like in this new season. So we have some incredible people, as I've already said. We have Matt Summerfield. Matt is a senior pastor at Zeo Church in Hitchin, which is just down the road from where we are here. He is also a writer and a coach and a trainer. And for 18 years, he was the CEO of Urban Saints. So it's great to have you with us today, Matt. Really, really great. We've also got Anna Hawkin, and Anna works alongside Rachel Turner at Parenting for Faith. And Anna works in her church looking after the online discipleship of children and families. And she's been working with children and families for the past 10 years. So there's no one better to talk to about this stuff than Anna, right in the season where actually online discipleship is really at the heart of what we do as kids pastors. And then we've got the incredible Ian Harland, who's also a friend of mine. And Ian also works as part of the team that I'm on with Limitless Elim Kids team. He is also on the senior leadership of his church in Ireland, and he's the director of the kids ministry in Ireland too. And he has a massive heart for mission. How do we look at mission in reaching the lost, looking at children and families that are not yet connected with church? And how can we do that in this new season? So it'd be really, really great if we can welcome Matt on. Hi. Hello, everybody. And Anna and Ian, how are you guys?
Very good. Thanks to be here.
It's so good. Thank you so much for joining us today. Are you all well?
Yeah, all good.
Good.
Well, while we were just setting up, I could see that Matt had a cup of coffee, so I was a little bit envious of that coffee. So hope you're still enjoying that.
No, it's all been drunk. It's gone. It's a shocker. I'm wired. I'm good to go.
Woo-hoo! Oh, fantastic. That's what we like to hear. So as you've heard and you are all aware that our season has massively changed in such a small amount of time, really, of children's ministry and what that looks like. And, you know, Matt, you're a man of strategy. You're a man who's passionate about discipling children and young people, but also, you know, being a coach and a trainer. Some of the big questions that we have right now is, what's the strategy for kids ministry as a senior leader or as kids leaders looking at volunteers? What have you got on your heart that you feel God's saying to you, or what strategies can you share with us to help us kind of navigate this season that we find ourselves in?
That is a great question. And of course, in a sense, like, every church has got to figure this out for ourselves, because every environment is a little bit different. But I know that one of the verses that's been spoken about a lot of the time is that verse in 2 Chronicles 12:32 that talks about the people, 200 leaders from the tribe of Issachar, who understood the times and they knew what Israel should do. And in a sense, that's always our leadership mandate. One of the responsibilities of leaders is to understand what's happening in the world around us and then get a sense of, how do we respond? What is God requiring of us in response to the environment? I think the challenge with COVID is that the environment is just changing all the time, like literally month by month, week by week, term by term. And the rules keep changing. Don't meet up. Now you can meet up. It's locked down. Now it's one household, two households. Wear masks. Don't wear masks. You can meet. You can sing. You can't sing. Some people can sing. You can sing out. I mean, it's it is so, so confusing and so hard to follow, that this sense of constant change means, if it means one thing for children's ministry, for all ministry, but we're talking about children's ministry, is that we've got to become agile. We've got to become able to change quickly. I was when I was thinking about that, I looked up the definition of agile or agility, which is to be able to think and to move quickly. It conveys that sense of being alert against that, understanding the times. Not necessarily that we're cultural gurus, but we're alert, we're responsive, we're clear-headed, we're quick thinking. And so if there is strategy going on right now for us, it's pretty short term. This is not a time for medium to long term planning. I would say, as leaders, we need to embrace the compass rather than the map. And there's a real sense of having regular points where we're stopping and we're checking the compass and we're saying, okay, what is happening and how do we respond? Because ultimately, God leads us by a compass. He doesn't lead us by a map. And I think, like, for us, even at Zeo, this is it's a termly journey where each term we're just kind of checking where are things at, what's happening. So let me give you kind of five questions that I think might be helpful for leaders to be thinking about in these checkpoints. So the first question is, what is happening in the world around us right now? What's going on out there, particularly around what are the obstacles and the opportunities to our ministry? What's happening in the world around us? What are the obstacles and the opportunities? Secondly, then, what's happening with our kids and our families? Like, you know, what's actually happening in our ministry? Where is the life and where are the lids? I know that some people have found, like, things like Zoom really good. Like, for our kids' ministry and even for our youth ministry, it's been almost impossible to find people really engaging well in some of those things. So, but we've seen life in other areas. We've seen life in visiting people, household visits and cards and the kind of things that you said. Where's the life? Where are the lids? Thirdly, what's happening with our team? What's going on with our team? This has been an incredibly challenging time to build and grow and develop and support and appreciate team. And so again, where's the life in our teams and where are the lids? And then fourthly, in the light of that, that's kind of understanding the times. What is the vision that God has called us to? What's our calling and commission? Like, because that's the immovable thing. You know, let's just remind ourselves, we need to constantly come back to the vision. And then number five, in light of that, what are the next shifts to keep us on track? What are the things that we should stop? What are the things that we should start? What are the things that we should continue? And I would just be encouraging all leaders to take a pause moment at least every term, if not every month, but at least every term, to be thinking of those five questions, understanding the times and how we respond. And then, like, we certainly, the language of let's just have a go is becoming a key part of our culture in CEO. We're just going to have a go. And so, like, in the last 6 months, we tried a whole bunch of stuff, like many other kids' ministries. We've done bedtime stories. We've done pre-recorded kids' stuff. We've done a minute devotional with our children's pastor. We've done loads and loads of stuff. And some of that stuff just has not worked at all, and that's okay. We want to embrace having a go, failing, learning, keeping on going, because that's part of the compass reading. What are we learning ourselves, and what is God showing us? And so rather than the specifics of here are the five things strategically you should do and it will be fine, we've got to figure that out in our local community. And I think by asking, in searching questions, understanding the times and what God's doing, those kind of five questions, hopefully on a rolling, agile basis, we can continue to shape and have momentum in our ministry.
That is so, so good and really helpful for me too. I met with my team last night, and that's one thing I think that has worked really well for us and our team here is actually I'm getting more people attending team meetings on Zoom. So if you're looking at teams and volunteers, trying to get people out, I mean, everywhere is different, isn't it? Where people live is different and culture is different. But where we live, a lot of people travel a long way to work. And they're coming in really late at night to get them to come out to a meeting, which I love seeing them. And we have tea and coffee together normally and cakes. I mean, the last team meeting we had, I did pancakes for everybody because it was pancake day.
Come on.
And I love all that. But actually, you know, that... Obviously, we can't do that now, but actually, is that the most effective way going forward? And I love what you said as well about being agile, because in my team meeting last night, I had it with questions about what is it going to look like when we regather, how many kids? And I said, everything is just moving like constantly. We just don't know when. We don't know what the guidelines are going to be like, but we just don't know what families' culture is. And, you know, we're reopening as a church as well in a couple of weeks, and there are some families that can't wait to come back, and other families said we're not going to be coming back for a while. So again, being agile in providing ministry for those children and families that are going to be coming, but also for those that are making their good choices of not coming because of, you know, their reasons. And so being agile across the board as well is really, really important.
And just to say, if I could just jump in quickly on what you just said, because I think obviously we are all grappling with the question, gather, and we do want to gather. Like, we did a drive-in church on Sunday. It was a lot of fun just as a one-off. And gather is important. But I think as well, part of our bigger challenge is how do we help the church, and in this conversation, kids ministry, scatter well? Because actually we're called ultimately to be salt and light, to be scattered. And what I'm more strategically gripped by is how do I help the kids in our ministry and the leaders be really effectively kingdom scattered in the world? Yeah. And then when we do gather, how do those gathering moments serve the scattering much more than they ever have done before? Because God has propelled us more into scattering than gathering right now.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what? That is so good. And actually, God's been speaking to me about the same thing, is that I don't know when we're going to regather kids ministry like it was. But I know that God's given me a different strategy for what that's going to look like, in what the purpose of our Sundays is going to be compared to our midweek stuff. And so God has just actually completely changed, you know, my mindset and concept, I think, of a Sunday kids ministry when we can come back together. And so I'm really excited about that. But yeah, that is so good, because actually the importance is not just about our in the building when the kids come, is actually how effective they're going to be when they go out as well, and how we can reach those families in the community. And Ian, you're nodding your head because this is something that's massive on your heart, isn't it, about mission and how do we reach children in our community. So do you want to share what you think that God is doing right now in terms of being missional?
Yeah. I mean, when we think about the context of pre-COVID, you know, we have, if you work with schools and community, which is something that I'm involved in my local community, there was so many limitations coming in. You know, what we can say, what we can't say, how we behave, what we can't do. When we think of the school context, when we think of our community context, you know, we are dictated by the locations in which we can do events and different things, that the external pressures weigh in on us. And then when we look at this pandemic situation, and now that restrictions are starting to be released, all of those restrictions that we once had are even worse now, with no assemblies and no after-school clubs, no ability to have holiday Bible clubs in your church for your community. Even our weekly outreach has went online. And then you have the problems with that, not really knowing who's engaged, not knowing who's really viewing and who's really participating in the effort that it takes to produce 15 or 20 minutes every single week for your kids. But over this last few years, as restrictions have been coming into different environments that I'm involved in, God has really been speaking to me in the respect of using our resources really well. When I look at scripture, I see men like Shamgar and Judges, you know, 31,000 verses in the whole Bible, and only two verses mention his heroics. And one of them tells us that he used an ox goad to fight off 600 Philistine warriors. And it doesn't list anything else that Shamgar did, but it does teach us that he used what he had in his hands. When we look to the New Testament, we see people like Paul imprisoned in his restrictions, and he used a pen that has impacted the church today. He used what he had where he was. And as kids leaders, the greatest resource we have is our kids. And so many times we teach the Bible well, we teach them life lessons, we teach them life application, we teach them how to live their best life. But what we don't do is we don't teach them well how to be an evangelist in their environment. And that's something that God's challenging me about. I have searched to try and find some sort of training programs to be able to impact kids with that will help them be an evangelist in their community, being an evangelist in their schools. And there was nothing to be had. So as a team in Ireland, as an Elam Ireland team, we have been looking at the prospect of being able to write our own resource, to be able to build a training program so that we will be able to teach kids how to explain to their friends who Jesus is, who God is, who the Holy Spirit is, what salvation is, how it has impacted them by using everyday objects that all of their friends will know. So it's been able to give them practical things like mobile phones. So for example, when I pray, what does it look like? Well, it's like when you pick up your mobile phone to talk to someone. You dial a number and you know someone's there. When you send a message, you send a message out and you know it's going to get to its destination, but you can't see the individual. It's like talking to God. I know God's there because of how he has impacted my life. So when I talk to God, I know that he hears me because the Bible promises. So you're able to teach kids through different everyday objects the reality of what their faith is. So they can take it into their schools, take it into their homes, take it into their communities to be able to talk about Jesus in a way that they totally understand and can lead others. The thing that impacts me most of all is the Great Commission. Because Jesus said, I have given all authority in heaven. So our kids walk about with that knowledge, with all authority in heaven, to be able to go into all the world and preach the gospel, to be able to lead people into discipleship, to be able to tell their friends all about this wonderful Jesus, not just to tell them Jesus loves them, but to actually stand toe to toe and be able to teach them how to take conversations in an intentional direction that will point their friends to Jesus. That's what's on my heart, and that's something that I'm very passionate about at the moment, and something that we are working on right now. Actually, last night we had our third meeting as a team to be able to talk about what this is going to look like moving forward. And I think in this generation, if we can help our kids understand evangelism in its truest form, we're going to bring our kids back. And I know from an Elam perspective, bring us back to our roots. Elam's roots was an evangelistic band. How great would it be that we equip our kids to be the evangelistic band that's going to change our nation through every generation? That's brilliant. What's on my heart.
Ian, it's brilliant. I just love when we talk on the phone or when we're at meetings together, your passion and your enthusiasm just overflows and overspills. It's just absolutely incredible. And you're so right. And I think children, more than ever, they don't necessarily need that, you know, the most performance excellent kids club that there is. They need that real life, what does my life look like, what is life about in this COVID season where everything is uncertain, what is the thing that is certain. And I imagine that lots of children, you know, right now all across the UK and the world, I suppose, going back to school now as well, having lots of these questions that they have about the meaning of life, and actually relying on kids ministry as once was, because it's not like that anymore. You know, we can't see you know, all the kids and all the families regularly that we used to, is actually training and discipling and teaching those that we do have to be able to be missional, to go into their places. It's just absolutely brilliant. And absolutely spot on.
It's amazing whenever you read the Bible, you see how God uses children to teach some of the biggest lessons.
Yeah.
And yet we don't embrace that to the fullest at times. We teach them the Bible and we teach them certain things, but when it comes to the equipping and the sending out, you know, we still have that mentality that, well, they're just kids. We don't want to put too much pressure on. And yet Jesus showed us in through the word that it's the children that have all the answers. If we would only take the time and work with them and let them go, release them, because their reach is greater than our reach. And this is the most incredible thing. We can do kids ministry every week and have 500 kids in front of us teaching them. But each one of those kids maybe goes into a school with 300 or 400 kids in that school. So their reach is so much more exponential than our reach. So surely it's better for us to spend time honing their skills and helping them to develop their faith and their service and their servant heart for their friends.
Yeah, so good, so good. Absolutely. Thanks for that, Ian. I'm sure there's lots of people who might have some questions or thoughts. So I know that there's a chat bar and there's people watching this session as well that are able to help you. If you do have any questions or any thoughts about anything that's going on in this session, please do. We've got a team of people that are here to help you and answer your questions, encourage you and pray with you. So please make sure you do that. Anna, one thing I'm so thankful for is a few years ago, Rachel Turner came and spoke at our Elam Leaders Summit and spoke about discipleship at home. And that was one thing that was on my heart of how I'd only been here a couple of years by then, but I was aware that actually discipleship at the home probably wasn't happening as much as I would have liked or dreamed, or as much as God really wanted. And Rachel gave me some incredible tools to help very naturally bring into what we do on a Sunday in order to go into people's homes. And so we've brought some of those stuff online, but I'm not very good with stuff online.
I don't think any of us are. It's the world's worst kept secret.
But obviously, like, online discipleship and looking at where we are in this season from a parenting for faith perspective, what is on your heart for a new landscape for kids ministry, Anna? And, you know, what gems can you share with us to help us all on this journey?
Sure. Well, I actually think it's really exciting. You know, God didn't cause this. We wouldn't ask for it. But I do think it's really made clear in a new way the home as the centre of discipleship and it not being the church. We've had that safety blanket and it's been pulled away, hasn't it? Maybe a lot of us would like to think, yes, the home is the centre of the discipleship. But I think of it a bit like a vitamin tablet or something. It's like, oh, I'll try to feed the kids a balanced, healthy diet at home. But I'll give them a vitamin tablet just to be sure. And I think some of us were treating church like that a little bit, if I'm honest. It's kind of, yeah, we'll try and do some stuff at home when the going's good and we remember. But, oh, thank goodness we got Sunday and there'll be some wise and good and excellent people who will talk to my kids in the children's ministry. And I do think the way that that's been removed has forced parents to step up a bit. It's forced churches to say, okay, all the stuff that we were doing, it was good, but it wasn't the solution. It wasn't the answer in the way that we thought it was, perhaps, or the way that we sometimes unintentionally conveyed. So, yeah, it's really, that's not new. The home has always been the centre of children's discipleship, but I think it's made people realise it in a new way. You know, and people have been going back to Deuteronomy 6, where it talks about talking about God's laws as you go along the road and in the normal and in the everyday. And that's what we had to do in COVID. You know, we couldn't even walk along the road. It was in our homes. It was in our houses. And people just had to step up. I think what the challenge is really is helping parents to feel confident in that, because we can sort of swing back the other way and say, great, well, I'll wash my hands of that. Church isn't in charge anymore. Good luck, parents. Hope you get on. And this has been such an incredibly stressful time for parents. There's mental health struggles, financial struggles, work struggles, all of that added into the mix. And they're maybe not getting their own discipleship in the same way and all that kind of thing as well. And I really feel like it's an opportunity for the church to say, we are here for you. We love you. We're here to support you and encourage you. You are the best possible person to help your child to meet and know God, not because you got it sorted. You haven't. We're okay with that. But because you're a real everyday example, you know them far better than anyone else. You have far more time with them. We love you. Let us give you some simple tools and ideas and really think about how to engage parents and how to equip them. Because we can do, it's interesting what Matt was saying about all the different ideas they've tried. You know, we can do the most jazzy, snazzy kids video or whatever. We can spend hours and hours and hours. Never has there been more opportunity to spend more time creating something that maybe isn't what people want or need. And yeah, we've got to do stuff that engages the kids and help them. But far more significant and big picture, I think, is about finding out what the parents want, what they need, and resourcing and equipping them. You know, it's a bit like what Ian was saying about the kids in school. Don't just focus on the ones you've got with them. Think about the reach. Well, if we can be supporting and equipping and helping the parents, giving them confidence, praying for them, giving them simple tools to use at home, they're going to have far more impact than we ever could have had in our 1 or 2 hours on a Sunday or in our after school club or, you know, whatever it might be. And I think for us as leaders too, it's really caused us to, or me anyway, to pause. You know, in children's ministry, it's a bit of a relentless spin, isn't it? You think, oh, Christmas is coming up, right, I'll copy and paste a little bit from last year and we've got to make it bigger and better and we've got to pull in some curriculums and different ideas. And suddenly I'm looking at next week and gosh, I can't do anything that I did last year, and that's great. And it's really caused me to get on my knees and say, God, I do not know what I'm doing. What is this all about? What do these people need? What do these parents need? What do these children need? And how can I listen to you and then give that to them? I really think it's been a gift in a way to pull us back where we've got a little bit used to relying on our programs or our patterns or our own strengths. You know, most children's leaders, they're very good at reading a room and responding to children's questions and all of that. And that's all been taken away because you don't know how they're responding and all of those kind of things. And I really think it's a time very similar to what Matt was saying, actually, of just to pause and pray and say, you know, come in humility and say, God, I do not know the answers. I don't know what these people need, but I know you love them. I know you're for them. And I know you can work powerfully through this. So, you know, will you lead us and guide us in this time?
Thank you, Anna. That is so, so good. And again, yeah, I'm taking some things away from this as well. And I think I'm going to try and get a copy of this and watch it over and over and over again as well, because there's so many amazing gems in this. But you're so right. I mean, some of the families at the beginning of COVID, what was really incredible, they were doing devotions every morning with their children, which is just absolutely phenomenal. And I certainly, you know, started with great intentions with my children and did it as much as I possibly could. But as the weeks went on, I can, you know, hold my hand up and say, I didn't do it every day.
Yeah, join the club.
Yeah, at 8:30 a.m. And I know for us and like you guys and others with parents watch, with children watching, is actually finding how to do it naturally as well, how to disciple children naturally, that it hasn't necessarily got to be a sitting down for 20 minute, half an hour devotion. I know with homework and the books they've got to read for school and, you know, making packed lunches and all that, and clubs, especially they're building back up. But it's actually how can our faith be very natural part of our everyday lives. And you know, one thing I know that we do is that I involve our children quite a lot in some of our decisions or some of our difficulties. Not everything, obviously, you've got to be really wise, but talking to them about God from those perspectives in our conversations when we're out for walks and things like that. But I know, you know, like you were saying, Anna, there are some parents that just feel really overwhelmed with the thought of doing that. And again, life is getting busier again, people expecting to go back to work. But Anna, if there was like a couple of top tips of what, if like a kid, you know, a kids leader was watching this and they went, I know a family that's really struggling and I just need to give them a couple of things just to get them started or just to encourage them, what would you suggest, Anna?
Well, on our website, if I'm allowed to mention that, parentingforfaith.org, it's kind of all structured around five key tools. So five really, really simple little tweaks, no theology degree required, no craft resources, no preparation. And they're little, there's little 1 minute videos explaining them and some ideas of how to try. So that might be a good starting point for some people. And that suggests things like creating windows. So to whatever extent you have faith, however small that may be, you know, if you pray, let your child see or hear a little bit of that. So a lot of us normally pray in our head, so our children don't know that's happening. Could you say that out loud, or just say, oh, I just prayed, you know, that made me feel really nervous, I was just asking God to help me. So you're not doing anything, you're not having to add anything extra in, but you're just making visible what's invisible to a child, because it's just happening in your head. Or you're texting your friend on your phone saying, please pray for me. Well, they don't know you're not just scrolling social media. And just kind of pointing that out and explaining to them what's going on. And another, if I could pick one more kind of tool that I think would be useful, is the chat and catch, which is just a way of praying and really encouraging children and teenagers to chat to God about anything, anytime, anywhere. So it's brilliant to have set routines and patterns, and they can be really helpful. But we don't want to give children and teenagers the idea that we can only pray at certain times and in certain places. You know, we want them to be able to say to God, this is how I'm feeling in the school toilets and in the playground and on the bus and all those kind of things. And so we've got a little resource. If you do parentingforfaith.org/101, it's got 101 ways to start a conversation with God, some things to chat to him about and some things to ask him, and kind of talks through how to get used to hearing his voice. And that might just be a nice little springboard for some people.
Thank you so much, Anna, for that. And I know that we use Chat and Catch here that I've implemented. I know some of our kids really, really love that as well, especially the catch bit where they have to wait and pause and hear what God is saying back to them. And yeah, some of our kids have really had amazing moments with God when they're using that. So absolutely brilliant. Guys, I think we are coming to the end of our session, but is there anything that anybody else wants to share, that's something that's not being shared, or a tip or advice or thought or encouraging word that you would like to just share with all our viewers that are amazing, you know, children's leaders and workers from all across the UK that are watching, that they would love to hear?
Well, I've got a 2-hour study on Leviticus that I've prepared especially.
Do it. We want to hear the whole thing.
Should I jump in? I'll get my coffee on that, I promise.
No, can I go get a coffee first?
No, you need to hear this. Your husband told me. No, there's a bit of a strategic framework that we use that goes back to my Urban Saints days, actually, that we use in Zio. We use it right across the ministry now, actually, but it's particularly pertinent to, I think, kids and children's ministry, which, if I briefly explain, which again might help us think about our children's ministry going forward. And it's based on this little formula called 5E to the power of R. And it's just a way of, in these reviewing moments, for us to think about the different aspects of our kids' ministry that will help it to be healthy. And so I'll just go through it super, super quickly, and some people might find this helpful as they do their little strategic or tactical reviews. And so the first E is the E of enjoyment. And so that's all about, are we creating opportunities for fun and memorable moments. We know that like fun is a big value for kids. And so what does fun look like in this moment for us? How do we have fun? Because it's still a high culture value. Secondly is education. How are we regularly creating opportunities for learning and growing and discovery of faith, which is essentially is discipleship, learning, apprenticing, becoming like Jesus. How do we make sure, like Ian was alluding to, that we are raising up disciples who actually can make disciples, that we're raising up disciple makers, and you know, that we're really passing on faith. The third E is the E of encounter. How are we creating moments for children to encounter God? And I think just what Anna's been talking about is a great example of that, encountering God in prayer personally, but even together. And as part of that, actually, like coming to faith, like actually making a faith decision. And, you know, when back in my Urban Saints days, and you know, I've spoken at lots of Urban Saints camps and Soul Survivor and all those things. And of course, you'd always get the statistics coming out every camp of, like, you know, hundreds of kids came to faith, all that stuff. And on one level, that was great. But on another level, it wasn't so good, because the reason that so many kids or young people came to faith in the summer is because no one had invited them to come to know Jesus in the whole previous year. And I think there's a real opportunity for us to equip children, parents, to lead their kids to faith, and children's workers to be bold and not just think, well, that's just the evangelist's job, but actually, what an amazing privilege to be creating regular opportunities for children to know that God is present with them, like in our children's ministry, but in the everyday moments, but also have moments where they want to say a yes to Jesus on a regular basis. That's the E of encounter. Four is empowerment. So how are we raising up our children to be influential in their spaces and places, both within the church, raising them up as leaders in the church? I love what Ian was saying about, you know, so many stories in the Old and the New Testament of children leading the way in terms of kingdom influence. And like, you know, if Josiah can become the king of a nation at the age of 7 or 8, then why are we not raising up children to be the prince and princesses of their classroom corridors and neighborhoods? Like, you know, like God can do that. And so are we releasing responsibility? I know I grew up in a Christian family, but my walk with God came alive at the age of 17 when I was invited to become a leader in our youth ministry. And I went from 16 years of spectating faith to participating faith. And that's when my faith revolution happened. So let's get them engaged. I'm nearly done. Then the fifth E, final E, is the E of example. The E of children seeing the example of their parents' faith, but also their leaders' faith. How are we creating those opportunities? So those are the E's: enjoyment, education, encounter, empowerment, and example. And the R, the multiplying factor, of course, is relationship. Mm. You know, our investment in relationship with parents, with the kids, and with our leaders. And I just think, again, we find that a helpful framework to just pause, previously maybe once a year, but now definitely once a term, to just think, okay, like in the current reality, which is changing all the time, what does fun look like? What does discipleship look like? You know, what does encounter look like? What does empowerment look like? You know, all of those things. And what's one thing that I could do in the next month to draw me closer to my leaders, to my parents, and to my kids? And of course, more than anything else, towards God. Like, am I building personally habits of being with God, so that I can understand the times and know what I should do? So I hope that helps.
Yeah, that's absolutely brilliant. Thank you so much, Matt. So much in there as well. I just for those watching, I'm listening to all this and I'm really like excited and passionate, and I've taken so much away. But I just want to encourage that wherever you are at, whatever it is that you're doing right now, you're doing amazing.
Yeah.
This has not been an easy season for any of us. And it's so easy. I feel like I've got to share this with you. It's so easy. To look at what other people are doing, what other churches are doing, or what other families are like. If you've got your own family, and think, I can't, I can't do that. I have to tell you, I'm not very technical. I, you know, doing the videos online, I have done the best that I can do. And compared to some churches, they're not very good. But compared to some others, they're not bad. But we're not here. We're not here to compare. What we're here is because we've got a heart for the children and a heart for the families in our community. And I want you to go away and take away stuff from today. I want you to go and build on what you've heard and to give it to God and say, okay, God, there's been so much in this today. What do you want for me? Where, what couple of things can I go away with and implement and learn and journey with that will help me get to where you are calling me to in my journey and where I'm leading? And so I don't want you to feel overwhelmed. I don't want you to feel like, you know, you're being compared to anybody else. You are incredible. And if you're serving God with all your heart and you offer him what you have in your hand, whatever that is, and Ian said about that, you know, and Paul had a pen and he used what he's got in his hand, that's all that God wants from you. Yeah. So take advice, you know, listen to these amazing words of wisdom that you've heard today. Give it to God and say, okay, God, this is who I am. This is who you've created to me to be. These are the people you've called me to serve. These are the children. This is the team. These are the families. What do you want me to take away from this? What do you want me to go away and implement the best that I can? And go and do that, because I guarantee that when you give God everything that you are and what he's given you, he will multiply it tenfold. And it's not your responsibility to carry the burden of this, but it's your responsibility to love God, love others, and to serve God and to serve others the best that you can. And so I just want to just say that to you to encourage you, because I know what it's like to compare. And I'm sure we all do. I look at Ian and I go, oh my gosh, isn't he amazing, you know, with the missional stuff. Matt, you're amazing with words. Like, you speak incredible, an amazing communicator. And Anna, your heart and your passion working for parenting for faith, I'm like, they're great tools. Why haven't I not thought of them before?
Yeah.
But God has given us all what he's given us, and we're not here to do anything but to encourage and to support and just to pray over you. So as we close now, it would be really
great. Can I just add something before we go?
Yeah, of course.
Can I just say this? You know, I am totally with you, Danny, and what you're saying, because there's so much comparison. Everybody's looking at everybody else, and, you know, we feel intimidated to have a go. But I just want to encourage everyone that's watching, don't be afraid to take a risk.
Come on.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to step out of your comfort zone. Because the God that loves you is already there waiting to embrace you.
So good.
Mm-hmm. And you need to step out to step into the fullness of all he has for you. So don't be afraid to take a risk. And evaluate often. Mm-hmm. Look at where you come from to where you are now. Mm-hmm. Find God along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's so important as leaders, that we're not afraid to take a risk. Mm-hmm. And we're not afraid to look back and see what God has done. But we rejoice in the fact that he is always in the next space waiting for us.
Yeah.
Always there ready to take us on another journey and another journey. Because he's the God of more. He has so much more for us. And if we stay in our wee comfortable space, we're never going to see what he has for us to do. So be a risk taker.
Yeah. And I think, sorry, Danny, if I could say one last thing too. I just had a real sense as you were sharing there, I really felt God was saying, come as you are and bring what you have. And I was thinking about the feeding of the 5,000 and that little boy, you know, sat there with his packed lunch thinking, shall I just sneak off and eat this myself? Or shall I offer what I have? It made no sense in the, you know, that wasn't going to feed all the people, but he just said, here's my little bit, God, I trust you, you do the rest. And I really feel like that's what God's saying this season. You know, he doesn't call us to anything heavy or difficult. He says when we come to him, the burden is light. But we sometimes forget to do the come to him bit. We struggle on and we thrash on by ourselves trying to make it work. And we just need to say, God, we can't, you can. This is what I've got. You take it, you use it, you multiply it, you bless people. And I can't wait to watch and thank you that I get to be part of it.
Brilliant.
Awesome. Guys, I can't thank you all enough for your time that you've given us today, but also your expertise. But more than that, thank you for who you are, because, you know, there are many, many kids workers that over the years, but also watching this, that are going to be going away going, I feel really encouraged, I feel really inspired, and I feel like I've got some things now from God that God has given you guys that they can go away and do. And so thank you so much for your faithful service to God, the way that you serve God and others, and the way you love as well. And so thank you so much for being with us. We're going to just head now, but I would love to pray over, well, actually, I would love, Anna, would you like to pray over the kids leaders watching as well, and children in our nation as well, and what God is doing in this season and in the next?
Yeah, absolutely. What a privilege. Father, thank you so much for each person watching right now. Thank you for the churches and the families and the households and the areas that they represent. Thank you that you are with them, that you have gone before them. None of this COVID stuff has been a surprise to you. Thank you that you know where we're going in the future. And I pray right now for an amazing sense of your peace and your presence into every laptop and phone and however people are watching, that there would be a real tangible sense of your Holy Spirit, God with them. Where it's been heavy, where it's been hard, where there have been wounds, Father, would you lift those off? Would you take those away? Bring your healing, bring a freshness and a breath of your spirit for what you've got next. Thank you that these people are willing. Thank you that they love you. Would you bless them with amazing times with you, with words from you, with people around them to encourage them and support them and to cheer them on. And I am just so excited to see what you've got for them next. And I just pray those things into being, that they would do it with you, walking alongside them, that you take what they have and, bring it to full fruition. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, guys. Thank you, everybody that has tuned in to watch this session. We're praying for you. We love you. We're here for you. And we know that you are absolutely amazing. So I hope you enjoy the rest of the Limitless Oxygen event. And we look forward to a time when we can actually see you face to face. But until then, we'll see you soon. Bye.
Bye.